We are in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Falcons falling to the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football 22-17. Let's take a listen to quarterback Kirk Cousins, who's with Dave Archer of the Falcons Radio Network.
Kirk, this was one that a lot of people looking forward to. I'm sure that many of your teammates were. This is not the first time you've taken on Patrick Mahomes head-to-head. Now, I know you weren't playing against one another, but challenging the two core. What, you know, how did it feel to be out there with your teammates playing in a game like this?
Yeah, it was a great opportunity. You know, it was a good test for us, and you know, it's sitting pretty sickening right now. You know, certainly had some chances to win the football game.
The third down situation, you guys have had a tough time with third down. Certainly tonight it was one of those. Now, some of that might have stemmed from some of the things that were going on up front. You had a couple of guys go down in the offensive line. I know that's not an excuse. As you begin to look forward, and I know you're guys that's looking to solve problems, how do you fix that?
Yeah, it has to be fixed. I got to go back and look at you know, the different ones. I think even when you go back and look at our first two games, like, not all third downs are created equal. You know, mm-hmm. Some of them are just third and really long, and there's lower percentage chances. So we've got to stay in third and manageable, and then when we do, you know, we've got to convert. But, it's pretty simple. You know, if we're going to be, you know, at the low percentage on third down all season, it's going to be a long year, so we've got to get it cleaned up.
All right, this team came after you a good bit. You know Steve Spagnuolo, he likes to heat you up. A lot of pressure. I thought that Bijan Robinson did a really good job trying to pick up some of those linebackers.
Yeah,
tell me about that and maybe speeding up your process a little bit to try to read things out and get the ball to somebody.
Yeah, it was just a balance of trying to understand you know, the balance of pressure and coverage behind it, because certainly you know, it's not just the pressure. It's okay, how does the coverage marry with it? And trying to click through progressions quickly. Like you said, Bijan did a really good job picking up, you know, pressures when he had to, and buying me an extra click, like on the big completion to Kyle Pitts. So, you know, that was great to see from Bijan.
All right, tell me about the mindset that I know you have, but you got a young football team. Can you be discouraged? Does a team get discouraged in this situation? Is that something you have to address, or is this a pretty resilient squad?
Well, in this league, you're going to have games like this. They're going to test you. There's 17 of these. You just got to find ways to win more than you lose in these moments. You know, we did last week, and this week we didn't, and we got to learn from it and be a better football team coming in here next week against the Saints. And you know, it's a divisional opponent now, and we got two straight divisional opponents, so a lot of football up ahead, and we need to be, you know, ascending as a football team as we move into October.
Kirk, thanks for your time.
Yep, thanks, Arch.
He's absolutely right. The NFC South is the next three games. You got Saints, Bucks. You got the Saints game. You got the Bucks on Thursday night right after, and then you've got the Panthers, and then you'll play a very surprising Seahawks team here at home, and then you go to Tampa.
It's a tough schedule.
It's a very tough schedule.
Monday night to Sunday night to then Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah, and that's all this.
What even is the NFC South right now?
Well, the NFC South is one of the better divisions. I know that Tampa made a late an egg at home, but you know. I talked with Arch about this in pregame, and he literally kept saying the same thing. The NFL is all about matchups, and certain teams match up better with other teams. That's part of it. Denver got after Tampa Bay up front yesterday, and the Saints and the Eagles almost played in a lot of ways an identical game to what we played against the Eagles last week. The Eagles' defense showed a blueprint of getting after and shutting down that Saints offense. For us, I think if I'm a fan, I have some solace, I guess would be the word, in the fact that we played three of the better teams in NFL right now, 2-3-0 teams and a 2-1 team, and you've been at the end of every game, and it still feels like you just haven't quite figured out the missing piece that could set you to be in one of those teams.
Well, and I want to go, you know, talk about Kirk's interview for just a second. You can tell how somber he is in his voice, right? And you can tell how much that game probably meant. And I thought you heard a lot of the same things from Raheem. You know what I mean? He like you said it, he just seemed as upset as you'll ever hear Raheem sound. And it's not just about the way the game ended. You talk about everything. And I don't know I remember if it was Schefter or Rappaport, whoever tweeted that out yesterday, but that was one of the biggest home games in Mercedes-Benz history. When you look at everything that went into that with Arthur Blank and, you know, all the other stuff, with this regime. That was a big one. And so you could kind of hear it in Kirk's voice how upset he was. But I like that. And he understands this team has to get better. And he's right. You need to be ascending when you hit the month of October.
You do need to be ascending. But you said that this was probably one of the biggest games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This team felt like they had the city behind them. Let's take a listen to Jesse Bates.
A loss is a loss. You know, you never want to, you know, lose. You know, start off 0-2 at home. We want to, you know, get the city behind us. But I think it was a hard-fought game. A lot that we can learn from and, you know, really build off of. You know, tough loss. Like I said, it is what it is. Now we're off into divisional. And that's the most important thing. And we'll be ready to get back to work.
You guys were both there last night. What was the atmosphere like?
Yeah, and it's just so funny listening to Jesse Bates. All I can think about is how that guy just continues to play at such a high level. You look at some of the stops he made last night. But, yeah, I mean, I think it does deserve a shout-out to Falcons fans. And, Tiff, I tweeted this out during the game last night. The should-have-been fourth-down stop, I think it was in the first quarter, maybe early second. Falcons fans in this city in general take such a bad, you know, hit on the chin day after day when it comes to the national sports media. So being in primetime, I think a lot of people expected Chiefs fans to take over the building. And there were Chiefs fans that there are always going to be because of Atlanta, because of the situation, because of ticket prices, because of the airport, because of everything else. There's always going to be a number of fans. I thought Atlanta Falcons fans did an exceptional job last night. Exceptional job of attempting to affect Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs team. They showed up. They were loud. They were present. They were there the entire time. I thought it was an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah, I guess the secret to getting Falcons fans to show up is start a game at 8:20, too. And I've been hard on the fan base. If you're a Falcon fan, you were there last night. You should be proud of the effort you put in because I thought it was a phenomenal crowd.
You think
75-25? Yeah, easily. 70-30 at the worst. 75-25 probably on that. It was when I was driving down the street, I said, man, we're going to have a lot of Chiefs fans here. It's not good. It's Sunday night. And then when you got in the building and they made them non-existent. The pass interference call, we have to mention. I'm not going to go in this segment not mention it. It's very disappointing because that's the call they got last week. This exact team got that call at home last week. And I'm just not sure what Falcons need to do, this team, because this team never gets that call at home, and they needed it, and they should have gotten it. And it's just ridiculous. That said, you still had a chance to win the game. When Ryan Neuzel and Caleb McGarry both go down in, I think, the same quarter.
Yeah.
Spags, the defensive coordinator, who is one of the best defensive coordinators in football in the last 20 years, changed his game plan. He basically said, look, Kirk Cousins is not Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes at that point about how he moves in the pocket. I'm going to come after you. Plus, you're down two of your starters. I'm coming after you. And it changed things a little bit. It made it a lot tougher. The Falcons still moved the ball.
I don't even know that he changed the game plan. I think the game plan from the top, he was going to blitz. He's always been a blitzer. But I think he was going to attack Caleb McGarry and Drew Dalman when you look at this offensive line. I think it was about attacking Drew Dalman with Chris Jones and Caleb McGarry kind of the same way, kind of bouncing back and forth and moving him around. I just think it made it easier, right, when those two guys exit and their backups come in to kind of put that game plan in motion. But he did a good job. I mean, he's always done a good job of dialing up those blitzes and getting guys into the backfield.
We're going to stick with NFL when we come back. And in particular, we're going to go – is that the right word for in particular, in particularly?
Sounded right. No. Yeah, just
right. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, you're good. If you're going to hone in like a certain division or something. Yeah.
Like the NFC South,
yeah.
Right?
That, then in particular would be
right.
Used correctly. But don't ask me because I screw up phrases and names and, you know, analogies all the
You're not exactly talking to two Rob Tribbles
in here. I know, I looked at the wrong person. Well, I guess I had the wrong people in here. But we are going to talk NFC South since that
is
what the Falcons have coming up on the road. Ahead.
Now,
we're going
night
in the huddle.
Was not a corrective emotional experience.
We're going in the huddle next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, that's an offense that, you know, they always find a way to win, find a way to move the ball. And I thought that we did a really good job for the most part of, you know, keeping some explosive plays off of us. You know, I feel like they threw out everything that they had, and I thought we did a really good job of responding. I think the runs got a little leaky tonight, but Yeah, man. We just got to clear up some of our third down stuff, and I think we'll be good. When you can force an offense like that to, you know, kick field goals and in the critical games like that, it gives our offense a chance to get back in the game. So, and that's what we did today.
You know, I love hearing that, and he's talking about third downs. Jesse Bates. I will say, I think the good thing about when you kind of put this game in perspective, you're not going to play a quarterback like any of the last three you just played for a number of weeks, probably until you get to Dak Prescott. And then so maybe when you get like Jaden Daniels in Washington, right? I mean, you're just – the next series of quarterbacks for the next 6-7 weeks is going to be guys that are pocket passers. And I think –
Well, Baker
for our
can
defense,
extend the play. Baker moves.
Well, they can – honestly, they can all do that. But they are – you're not going to usually dial up those plays as running plays. He's kind of in that same – he has an extra gear and a little more wiggle than Baker. But you're right. Baker did rip off a couple of big gainers on us last year in those situations. But I think it has to be a breath of fresh air because I think the game plan is completely different when you can do that. I think you can kind of tee off on the pocket a little bit more if you are a third down pass rush. And hopefully that leads to a little more ability to get in the backfield and affect the play.
Yeah, they do a good job of moving the pocket with Mahomes, and he does a good job of moving in the pocket. Jalen Hurts is obviously what he is, and Justin Fields, a rusher. Derek Carr coming in here, like he's a guy that I went and watched, you know, you're watching the Saints game, and I saw the Eagles able to do things against them that they couldn't do against us. And that makes me say, hey, that's how we're going to play them. Our defense, the back end of our defense, Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons and A.J. Terrell, D. Offered. You got to give Richie Grant some credit for being in there at times. Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes has probably been the star of the secondary to this point that no one's talking about because they just look so good all the way through. And you limited an offense that – what does Kansas City eat on since Patrick Mahomes has been there? It's huge plays, big games.
Explosives.
Big explosives.
Right.
I mean – dude, you go down and look at their longest play, and their longest play was 27 yards, but everything else is like 17, 8, 10, 13, 13. You limited big plays from that offense is why they only had 22 points. It was a big deal. You put, at times, Patrick Mahomes, he was forced to go and take what you were giving him, which was all underneath, and it was able to get you off the field at times.
Well, since Bo touched on the NFC South and the Falcons have the Saints up next, let's get to their game against Philadelphia, in which they lost 15-12 as Philly came back in this one.
They did. They it kind of reminded me of the game they lost last week.
This one's gonna hurt, man. Up Monday, I'm just gonna throw that out there. It's gonna hurt.
I watched a lot of this game. It was a really good game. The thing about me is like, Philadelphia moved the ball up and down on the Saints defense, and because of some odd decisions by their head coach on going for it on fourth down and then kicking field goals when, you know, passing up a 25-yard, the 30-yard field goal.
Speed sweep and a tush-push formation?
Yeah, I don't understand. You're talking about bad play calls.
That was bad.
And then, oh, you know what? Tiff, I don't need the 30-yard field goal. I'll go out and try to kick the 60-yard field goal, which is really odd to me, which had your team behind the eight balls. But I thought New Orleans offense, which had been one of the better units, their offensive line, which had been one of the better units in the NFL coming in to this week, didn't look great.
Yeah. Well, they dealt with a lot of the same things the Falcons did. They had a couple of injuries. I think McCoy leaves. Ruiz leaves the game. And so they were kind of battling that up and down. That's already a unit that had a ton of questions about not only their depth, but their starting five in general. I thought they played a little bit over their head, and you and I talk about this all the time. I use this phrase. Eventually in the NFL, things come back to the mean. They always do. Like, teams that look like world beaters will always fall back to earth at some point, and teams that look awful, looking at you, Carolina, eventually you'll climb into that driver's seat and you'll win a game. And so it was just one of those weekends, man, where everything kind of reverts back to the mean and what you expect after a certain given period of time.
All right, let's talk Carolina then. Because they went on the road in Vegas, and of course, you guys all know, they benched their number one overall draft pick and quarterback Bryce Young. Andy Dalton coming back to get the start. And so he leads Carolina to a 36-22 victory against the Las Vegas Raiders.
I got to tell you why I feel happy for them about this. And I think we can all kind of say that, you know, it's hard to feel happy for the team up in Charlotte a lot of times. Here's what I'll say. A lot of people have said that this is not Bryce Young's fault, and they haven't surrounded him with any talent, and they haven't done all the things they need to do. They answered the freaking bell in that locker room. It was like, dude, you think we don't have talent? Deontay Johnson, 100 yards. Xavier Leggett, couple big catches. Adam Thielen even, I think, had some big receptions. Chuba Hubbard runs the ball well. That offensive line plays well. It's like, dude, you think everybody else is the problem? Let's just stick Andy Dalton in there and let him throw for 300, and let's come out with a lopsided victory. I felt good. I mean, everybody has said, man, you know, it's not Bryce Young's problem. Turns out, it might have been when you look at that game yesterday. So I felt happy for those guys in that locker room.
Dalton, 319 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. I think it was the best performance of a quarterback on Sunday this weekend.
Yeah, and I actually noticed, I saw a tweet earlier kind of blaming the weapons that Bryce Young had from a former NFL player, and then saying, well, see, Cam did this without these players, and then Andy Dalton steps in and does it. Let's make one thing clear. It is an organizational problem. The organization is to blame for Bryce Young's and how he has played. I'm not saying he's not, doesn't take some blame, but the way he's been handled this far in his career, mainly last year with the switching around of offensive coordinators and everything, is to blame. That being said, it's like I said on here last week, he's seen ghosts, and Andy Dalton went in there and didn't see ghosts. He saw the receivers wide open, and he hit them.
What do you make of the news that they turned down 4 trades? What do you make of the news that they turned down 4 trades?
Can I read the news?
not allowed to find my own topics.
That's what I wanted to say.
No, it's interesting to me that you hear that. I wonder, it probably wasn't a great haul, whatever was being offered to them.
I tell you what I say. I think I don't think they were 100%, or the owner wasn't 100% sure he wanted that trigger to be pulled, because he wanted to see what they did with Andy Dalton. And now, I'm going to say something.
This was before the game, right?
Yeah.
The days before the game, right, they got these calls.
Have those calls came in? And I don't know if those calls would have came in after the game like this. I think there's maybe quite a few teams would have been turned off by saying, oh, that guy's that bad. But I don't think it's all on Bryce Young. I do think the way he was handled last year has directly affected the player he is today. Just like the way Mac Jones was handled when he had, the DC turned OC.
Patricia, and Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
I think it was a direct effect of the season he had in 2023.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, quickly, I know we just have a minute here, but should they trade him?
Like, I want them to, yes, and it's not for them. I think for him.
For him.
I think a fresh start would be awesome. Learning behind somebody else, obviously, would be awesome. I think you can go into a number of situations that would be very beneficial for Bryce Young.
And lastly, in the NFC South, Denver goes in and beats Tampa 26-7. Bo Nix gets his first win as a starting quarterback for the Broncos.
Words I don't like saying. Thank you, Sean Payton.
Bo Nix, friend of the show, just kidding.
Well, his grandmother
Grandma,
is for sure. that's one of those deals where it looks like matchups. They matched up well for some reason. They dominated Tampa Bay up front. I'll tell you this. This division is good. It's better than we thought. Everything is in front of you as a Falcons fan right now with this division. Yeah. Everything. Because you play those two teams in the next 2 weeks, and you have a chance at home, and you have a chance to say, hey, this is our division.
Knicks with the touchdown run. And Will Lutz, shout out to Georgia State. The kicker, you remember him from New Orleans? He's there with Sean Payton in Denver. He kicked 4 field goals to lead the Broncos to that victory. All right, this hour brought to you by Zero Res, Smart, Lasting, Clean, which you got from Mike.
A lot of people in the city, Tiff, are calling it Bama Hate Week. It's Georgia Hate Week in my house.
Okay.
That matchup is coming up this weekend.
Oh, you said on this station?
Yeah, that's right. I'm on all the smoke. Bring it on. Also, I got 3 up, 3 down as far as the Falcons go. 3 good things. And 3 things that I just can't seem to get over this morning. That's coming up on Mic'd Up's Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, you already know what week it is. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Mic'd Up. Welcome to Georgia Bama Week. I want to get into more Falcons talk here in just a second, but I couldn't let this Mic'd Up go by without at least touching on the fact that the odds are out. Georgia is a 2-point favorite in everything I've seen, 2 to 2.5 points. Coming up this weekend, Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
How does that make
7:30
you feel?
p.m. Eastern Time. It makes me feel like that Bama needs to fight their way out. You know, it's us against the world. Nobody expects them to win.
Wow.
Is what the is what Kalen DeBoer is going to be saying this week.
Meanwhile, Kirby's telling Georgia, Kalen DeBoer thinks y'all are 75.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by that?
No doubt about it. No doubt about
it. That's not true, Kirby.
Here's the question I want to ask you guys before we get to Falcon stuff about this game. This is a question that was posed to me multiple times over the weekend from Alabama people, and I just simply don't know how to answer it. Is this a rivalry game? Is Georgia and Alabama a new school rivalry game? It's not an old school rivalry game. It's not Georgia Florida. It's not Georgia Georgia Tech. It's not Bama Tennessee, Bama Auburn. But is it a new school rivalry game? Is this in the college football playoff era and the new, you know, the new realignment era, is this a rivalry game?
No, I don't think so. I think it feels like it should be because they've played some pretty monumental games. They played for a national title. They've played a
multiple times.
They've played a couple of SEC title games. It feels like it should be, but I don't feel like it is. I don't feel like it's ever been viewed as that, and it's never been given that rivalry love nationally, if that makes sense.
You know why it's not a rivalry?
Tell me, too.
Because it supersedes that. This is like juggernaut
bigger than
against
rivalry.
Juggernaut.
I two feel dynasties like
it's
colliding.
Two big programs, yes. So it doesn't get that rivalry tag to it because they're just big. They're bigger than that.
Also,
if this was Which One Wednesday, I would have won that.
Yeah, you. Yeah, that's,
I actually agree with that.
That's fine. How many times has Georgia actually beaten Alabama?
Well,
in the last, in the last five meetings, I think they've got one win.
Yeah, I think you.
Yeah, and that was a national title
game.
Yeah. But that was a big one. That's a big one. That's a national title. But Alabama has a national title win, too. They have two SEC title wins. Three SEC title wins over them.
In the last 17 years, I've been to so many of these. Obviously, I played in the 07 and the 08 and 07 games. I was at the 2012 game. I was at the 2015 game. Obviously, the 2017 national title. 2020 was COVID. I mean, you just keep going up and down the list. A number of great games and so many great players. It's going to be such a fun week and then build up to that one. If you're a Georgia fan out there, you're in the zone. You can hit us on the Twitter. You can hit me up at MPJohnson79 at 929 Morning Shift. I'm taking all the smoke this week. It's all good. I love all of it, man. I am a Bama guy that lives in Georgia, so I'm ready for it. I promise you. All right, I want to pivot to Falcons. I'm going to do a little something. What's that?
Sorry, also Florida man.
Florida man, that's
Florida
right.
Man,
hey, Tiff, Florida born, Bama bred.
It's a lot.
But when I die, I'll be Georgia dead. There's no doubt about
that.
I love this place. All right, so I'm staying here forever.
I'm leaving.
Forever. Staying here. I ain't leaving. In the words of Wolf of Wall Street, I ain't leaving. You're going to drag me out of here.
I'm not this morning.
Yeah, so here's what I want to do. I want to do some three up, three down yesterday. Three good things, three bad things from the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. If you guys will follow along with me, I think you'll probably agree with most of these, Bo. But maybe not. All right, so I'm going to start with the first up. All right, the first up that I feel good about the Falcons yesterday. How about the Atlanta Falcons secondary? We've talked about it all day. Great things going back there. Mike Hughes has played out of his mind. I thought D. Alford had a pretty good game yesterday. Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. They just continue to be difference makers on the back end with every single thing they do.
Free agency guys.
Free agency guys, great signings.
Yep.
So far, I've been so impressed with what the secondary is.
Yeah, Mike Hughes is a guy that I don't want to say the league giving up on him, but he was a first-round pick, kind of bounced around. He's done nothing but play solid from about halfway through last year when he kind of got healthy and obviously the start of this year. D. Alford is a guy that we talk about Terry Fontenot, and we don't want to give him credit, and we do want to give him credit, and then we want to complain. D. Alford is a guy he found from the Canadian Football League, all right? And D. Alford just came in here. He came in here during the 2022 season when you had a ton of injuries in the secondary, and all he's done is literally secure himself as that starting nickel spot. I can't say enough about what D. Alford has done and how he's earned every single thing. Love seeing him play
as
well.
As good as I feel about the secondary, though, here's your first down. I felt that bad about the interior defensive line last night. You got absolutely mowed over by the interior of Kansas City's offensive line to the point where it didn't matter who they put at running back. They weren't getting touched till they were well past the line of scrimmage numerous times. And they were good on third down because the third downs were always like third and two. And then there was nothing the interior defensive line could do in that aspect. As good as I felt about the secondary, interior defensive line didn't feel great about yesterday.
What bothers me is it feels like it's starting to be a trend. Coming into the game, you were allowing 160 yards rushing. Last night, they popped off 128 more.
Yeah, all right, let's go for number two on the upswing. How about this? Bijan's blitz pickup. I know that Dave Archer talked about it with Kirk Cousins. We noticed it a number of times last night, myself and Goforth watching the game. Bijan is probably the most physical player on the team right now. I'm not quote me on that. Bijan is probably the most physical player on the entire roster right now. If you had asked me at this point last year, I'd have told you there's absolutely no way. What a phenomenal job that Bijan did last night in pass protection. It's beautiful to see.
All around back.
Yeah.
That's what you want your running back to do.
Three downs. All three downs. Give it all to me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was going to say the exact same thing. He's as complete a back in the NFL as you'll find right now. I'm not saying he's the only one. I'm saying he's as complete.
All right, let's go to the second down, unfortunately, because it's the flip side of this, and it's third down for the Atlanta Falcons. It was a problem throughout preseason. I kept telling myself, well, it's a bland game plan. It's not Kirk Cousins. It's not even Michael Penix. It's continued to be bad. And when you're going at a 22% clip on third down, you're not going to win many football games. And you honestly look at that metric and you're shocked that you're 1-2 and that you had a chance to win both of the losses. It's kind of crazy to look at. But third down obviously continues to be a black eye in terms of this football team. It's something they have to get figured out. Now,
I think it starts on first down. You have got to have positive games on first down. Too many times this team has a second and 10, second and 11, second and 8. You've got to get 3 to 4 yards on first down, positive gains, and that sets you up to basically your own schedule.
Yeah. This is the third up, all right, the third positive. And I don't know that we are talking enough about it today, and hopefully we will continue to talk about it more throughout the week. How about Darnell Mooney? And I don't even need to read a stat line last night because I understand the fact that what this guy does for this offense is to me, it's the biggest difference. The biggest difference between this year and last year is Darnell Mooney. There's a lot of the same pieces, the Bijan, the Drake London. Obviously, Kirk Cousins is a better decision maker. He struggled at times, though, at the quarterback position for sure because of the injury. The biggest difference to me is Darnell Mooney, and obviously he goes off last night. A number of catches, explosive catches, and what he does for this offense has got to be talked about more, and I plan on doing that on this show, guys. Darnell Mooney, what a Jesse.
You just did. What a Jesse. You stood on the soapbox and you preach.
Just the speed, the what he does to stretch the defense is unbelievable.
Yeah, the speed, he's got the ability to run away from defenders because of his speed. He's a good route runner, and he's a yak guy. He brings all three elements, which you had a good route runs last year, but the other two you had no existence of.
The yak, the ability to catch it and run is just a beautiful thing. All right, and then the final down one, unfortunately, we want to finish on a sour note, short yardage. I mean, dude, this is going on a long time that this team has not been very good short yardage offense. We're not built for it, but doesn't mean we can't do some things that are built to the strength of this team. And I'm going to start right now, and Bo, you know where the campaign's going. We have to start pulling offensive linemen in short yardage. If we're going to be small and athletic up front and run wide zone, then when it comes to short yardage, you have got to start pulling players and adding numbers at the point of attack. It's something we don't do. We've got to start doing.
I thought the last 2 years you were better than you are this year. I think, but when you lose guys like Neusel and Dahlman and McGarry, now you do have to get a little bit trickier with things you do. If you think that's pulling guards, you think that's a little bit of a...
I don't even like trick. How about creative?
A schematic change, then yeah, you need to do something. Because if you're without Dahlman and McGarry for an extended amount of time, you're going to have to figure something out.
There you go. That's Mike, though.
Well, we're going to figure out a lot. Who's manning up, who's not,
ooh,
when we come back here. Because your picks over the weekend, they're in. They were in last night. I don't know how y'all are feeling this
Tiff,
morning.
I hope you keep the same energy that you did last week. You know, keep that same energy coming at us. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Feel good about it. Feel good.
We'll be right back with Man Up next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.